There is a tension that I feel, that I imagine you feel all the more so, between the conventions of reading in our day and age and the convention of the writing of long expository essays. Now, I used to write those, and I still do on occasion, but I have allowed the two sentences at a time cognitive structure of the current civilization to reorganize my writing into strings of two sentences, at most like 20 sentences long. And that is what I post most of the time. You continue to allow yourself to write like a grown up. how is that going from your point of view?
Honestly, I can't tell. A lot of the time. I like to think that maybe it's making space for other grown-ups. Not that I inherently think there's anything wrong with the two-sentence essay or thought. But I guess for me, an essay isn't just a piece of writing, but it's also a place in of itself. Much like a website is a place, and the hosting and whatever structure you put around it. And, you know, I've done a lot of long-form thread writing on Twitter, but that place itself is ephemeral. And at the end of the day, I kind of feel like I never wrote anything at all. And there's no real history or record unless you go back and look at those old things, which you can, but you have to keep track of it yourself because it's not designed to facilitate that. And when I go back to my blog slash essay slash Substack slash publish Obsidian slash website places, I can at least kind of see a history of where people have read and sometimes left comments. I mean, most of the time, honestly, the only feedback you get is still a heart and a notification. But there's a sense for me that if they at least took the time to do that, it's not like Twitter where you will go, oh, there's a thought that I half read, heart. There's another thought that I half read, heart. And then, you know, it spirals out of control. It feels a little bit more intentional. And I guess that's a lot of the time what I would say essays for me about is like they're very intentional. They have kind of both a point and a pointedness to them.
So something that I think you're far better at than a lot of the people that I follow who still write like grownups is launching your completed works as an event, which is something that is necessary for any to get any attention on anything in this day and age. And you have clearly adapted to that while not compromising on your format. But sometimes I feel as though recipients of your work respond to the launch without properly giving attention to the work inside of the launch. And this is a well-known problem throughout the publishing industry of just people just reading the headline, basically. But sometimes I feel like you know that's coming and do it anyway. Is that true?
Yeah. A lot of the time, because it's sort of unavoidable. I think it's just kind of the way that people interact and have been trained to interact with things now. Honestly, in a lot of ways, there's some similarity to social interaction, where much of the time, it's not even what you say, but how you say it. People are listening to the emotive content. And, you know, I guess the way I think about it, especially if we're thinking about my efficacy at doing that, a lot of the time when I see other people put out writing, it's a little, I guess, meek or not so self-assured, where they're like, oh, here's my little thoughts, you know, maybe you read them if you want to. And that just doesn't hook people. And I like to imagine that in the future, people will take a more considered approach to all writing in general, and at least because you can skim an essay and decide whether or not it's good before you even truly read it. But for me, it's definitely playing a bit of a game with people because you're competing for engagement, even when you're writing the long form thing. And so I guess a lot of the time for me, it's about opening that door with a bang so people actually look inside at all. Mm. And it doesn't catch everybody, but it catches more people than, you know, if you don't do that.
This has all sort of been like a wind-up for me to asking something really about the purpose and function of the essay as a form. Like, what makes something an essay at all, right? And like the etymological root of the word is like an attempt, right? Like it's taken a crack at something. But it seems like what you're saying is that there is an effect that you, and I, this is not, I know this, I've been present for the composition of many of your essays. Like there is an effect that you want to create, and the essay sort of works towards the complete, like a payload for generating an effect, more so maybe than you start writing because you've got an itch, and then at the end it is a thing that you have to then like understand. Is that true from your point of view of your work? And like, if so, like, is that what makes it an essay?
Yeah, I think so. I've been turning it over in my head, and I think where I would land is that, and this is not true all the time, but for me, it's most often true. I would say that a blog is for me, but an essay is for you, where my goal is to enact change or to put something out there or to create something which has impact and gravity. You know, there's been many influential essays throughout the history of just thinking. A Modest Proposal is a famous one that we still read in, you know, schools very often, just for its satirical impact, but also it made political change. And I guess the way that I often think about essays is like erecting pillars in maybe a, I don't know if it's a school of thought, but it's definitely a structure where I want it to become clear, but it requires more exposition. But in that time, I still feel that you can be persuasive, you can be entertaining, you can be funny, because that's what makes people remember things and engage with it. I'm very much not a dry sort of essay writer that I save for my guides, for students who have committed to it already, just through their practice. But, you know, in a more sort of cosmic sense, each essay itself has an election. It has a chart. And so it has a life. And I love it when I see people, you know, talk about, oh, that essay, you know, really made an impact on me. And much of the time that's more oriented towards guides. Because the thing about essays is that it's not just something you learn from and extract, but you, in order to experience it fully, in my opinion, you kind of have to take it with you. And it kind of becomes part of you because language is a bit of a magic trick, where you can say words and just make things happen to people. And how careful, thoughtful, skillful you are with that essentially is what the final outcome becomes. Language is really weird that way because people don't really have a choice when it happens to them. Like, the only defense is to not read, which is honestly why I actually don't do a lot of reading.
It's funny that you ended up there because I was feeling like that answer demanded a question that I had no intention of asking you, which is about your own reading habits. And I wonder, like, you referred to A Modest Proposal. I wonder where essays fit into your own reading life, whether historically or more recently, and also whether you read classic like epitomes of the form like that, or like modern Substack or blog writers. Like, do you read a lot of essays, and does that inform why this form matters to you?
Honestly, I do an embarrassingly little amount of reading about essays, especially. Most of my free reading is, I mean, besides just scrolling through the internet and articles and so on, is books, technical manuals, astrology references, occasional fiction, but mostly nonfiction. Because for me, I'm a very mutable sort of person. And so I find that I tend to get influenced by whatever I'm reading to a strong degree. Like, even as a kid, I noticed it that when I would try and write my stories, I was like, shit, I'm doing Harry Potter. And not just Harry Potter, but like the voice, the diction, like I'll pick it up. And so it tends to be relatively rare also because for me, it's part of the expression of a cohesive worldview that I'm attempting to build up. And so when I engage too deeply with others, I find myself getting knocked off course. And so reading essays is almost like contamination for me in some way. And because the way I write an essay, it's really rarely a sort of thing where I'm like, oh, I have this idea and I'm going to plan this out and that. And that does happen, but that's usually after a point of kind of like energetic buildup within myself, because sometimes over hours, days, weeks, months. And then there's a tipping point where I'm like, okay, it's all here. And then it kind of just like blasts out of me in, you know, 1 to 3 days typically. So it's almost like reading too much that's outside of my own sphere interrupts that process. And that's totally great and fine. I don't mind doing it when I'm eager to just, you know, sort of wander through somebody else's lands for a while. But, you know, I'm trying to build a lot of stuff here, and that takes a lot of time and energy, which is why I don't a lot of the time.
It's kind of tempting for me to poke into the asymmetry of that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think that, well, actually, I don't typically do this, but this is the third of the three conversations about writing that I've had for this month of episodes. And the other two have come out on both sides of this question. The first one was about songwriting, and the answer about influences, I had to just ask, you know, like, what are your, like, how do you feel about influences? Because that's like a very music question. And her answer was the same as yours. It's like, I'm so influenced by everything around me that like it gets in. And so I actually kind of need to isolate in order to write songs. But then the other one, the title of which is Excavation, was about how everything is an influence all the time. And that like, it's an important part of this person's creative process to like go digging for influences and unearth them and figure out what they are and were. And, piece those together as a part of an act of actually really essay writing. And so I was wondering like whether you feel any kind of responsibility to be influenced the way that you're influencing, or like does anything about that asymmetry bother you?
It's a good question. I think it used to more than it does now. And I feel that it also differs depending on the type of writing and type of essay that you do, because some writings require influences. You know, they're stacked on top of previous writers' thoughts and citations and so on. And when I do borrow work or reference it, I always try to cite the source if I recall that it's come from somewhere else. But a lot of the time for me, it's almost more akin to channeling. And so the influence is sort of already coming down from above in some senses, or from within. And so it's not so much of a textual influence that I'm relying on, but also, you know, I can end up channeling somebody else's thing too, right? Where you slip into that thought stream or feeling stream so strongly that all of a sudden you're bringing somebody else's thing in entirely. And so for me, it's almost like an element of, I don't know if respect is the right word, but boundaries perhaps, and saying, you know, that's yours over there and this is mine over here. And so I want to be more intentional when I am mixing them together. So, and to be frank, you know, for me, the asymmetry is also very much just that I have a lot of stuff going on and I have only so little time to spend that time exploring outside of the things that really, really motivate me and interest me. But yeah, I think it's a tricky thing, and I expect it to change depending on the sorts of things I'm writing about.
Well, now we have to talk about like the metaphysics of all of this.
Yes.
Which was inevitable. But the way that you just answered, I think, really changes the conversation about influence, because there's a sort of hierarchical quality to where one is being influenced from. And I'm a little hesitant to put it that way, but it still feels that way. Maybe it's not really about like above or below sources, but it's like about purity of the transmission or clarity of the transmission. Mm-hmm. And there are things about the level of consciousness of the source of information at play. And I think you're probably wise to consider like peer sources to be a little suspect, right? Because there's like, everybody's just like scrolling and getting influenced all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like what you would prefer in order to do your job is like something with less taint in the water that you're, mm-hmm. that you're drinking to transform into whatever this is. Is that, and you said that you used the word channeling, like, is it that devotional of a practice for you? And what are the sort of devotional and like ritual considerations around writing essays for you?
Yeah. I mean, it very much can be. Like I mentioned that you take an essay with you, that also applies to me reading somebody else's thing. And to the first part there, I instinctually am distrustful of groups of people thinking together, because that has momentum and inertia, and it also tends to pick up a lot of baggage. And so it does fuzz the signal quite a bit when you step into that, because all of a sudden I'm getting all of these other things. And also I can perceive it and it feels messy when I'm reading it, when you have mm-hmm. lots of people writing about the same topic and kind of following along the same thoughts. And so even when I do contribute to those conversations occasionally, I like to make sure that it's coming from a place that is as fully me as possible, because I want to know that, yes, this is not an idea or a thought that I borrowed or channeled from somebody else, but rather it comes from a place that is genuine to myself. And of course, that channeling process, I mean, much of the time when I decide to write a persuasive essay, I'm like, oh, this is a Jupiter essay, or this is a Mars essay, or this is a Mercury essay. And much of the time, it feels like it is in response to a situation or to a gap in knowledge or a need that I perceive, where I'm like, people would benefit from knowing this thing, or that just this thing needs to be said in some way. And so the channeling practice for me is often, sometimes I'll meditate, sometimes I'll use substances to get into a flow state, you know, write drunk, edit sober, and all that, or mm-hmm. replace Word with whatever you prefer, mm-hmm. Is something that does help me quite a bit in that process, because it really is about building up to that point. Like when I'm planning to write an essay or feeling it coming on, it's kind of this slow trickle that eventually the dam bursts open and then I'm just there. And so it's almost like a relational thing for me, where I'm building a relationship to an essay within myself, kind of incubating it over a long period of time. Because once I'm ready, I do very little reworking, very little editing. It mm-hmm. kind of comes out in one piece. And that's the part of it that does feel much more almost divinely inspired, if we want mm-hmm. to use that word, where I'm like, where the hell did that come from? Because that was not in my head. It was in my heart, so to speak, mm-hmm. even if it's a very intellectual form. And in terms of my actual practice, there's not much of a consistency to how I go about it, but there is always that process of that energetic buildup before it happens. Like, I don't keep myself to a schedule for my writing, because I feel that that is also something that can strangle it in a way, where you're trying to squeeze things out of the pipe, you know? Yes. And that makes it really, really difficult to make something authentic, or even to take the time to build that cohesive message or thought or idea or whatever it is.
Would you say that you have to write? Like, is that a thing that just that you're impelled to do?
I think so, yeah. It is not regularly periodic, as in weekly or monthly, or like I have to express it, but when it comes, it's getting out one way or another. And if I don't, I feel very uncomfortable until it happens.
Has it always been that way?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think so. when I was younger, I would write a lot of fiction, and the ideas felt like they would get so big that they had to be expressed. Otherwise, I would just be a bundle of nerves and excitement about the things I was thinking about. And so, in a way, it can be very physical as well. I type quite fast. And so, when it's all coming out, it's just like furious. It just comes out with so much force that I feel like I can't restrain it. And then it's part of the entire process, because once it's out there, it's now like I have to treat this like it is, like a holy object, and I have to make sure that it has the vessel worthy of it.